Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Westwood One. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint Daily, esports and gaming radio from Beasley XP for Thursday, November 1st, 2018. Your daily source for esports and video game discussions. I want to thank everyone listening on WWKB 1520 in Buffalo and ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1 and 1200 AM in Syracuse, New York. Coming up today on Checkpoint, Toby Fox, the creator of the runaway hit Undertale, just dropped a new game, Deltarune, and if we don't talk about it, I think Joe might just explode.
I'm not going to make it.
Plus, what games are you looking forward to the most and least coming up in 2019? Those discussions are ahead today on Checkpoint XP. But we start today with Nintendo. Thursday morning, Nintendo held a direct conference to reveal the last bits of info about Super Smash Bros. Ultimate before the game releases on December 7th. Joining me to help break down this important discussion is the Checkpoint Radio crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
Over at the drop board, Norris Howard.
Smash!
And over at the Checkpoint News Desk, Joe Sloan.
Check a look. And yes, this was the final direct before Smash Ultimate. Before this one started, 72 of the fighters had been released.
I'm lit!
74, if you count the Pokemon Trainer as 3, but we'll keep it at 72. We got the final.
So excited.
Two, or is it three, fighters revealed during the direct conference? The first of which was Ken. Not too much of a surprise. No. Everyone kind of thought Ken would be coming.
Yeah, an Echo Fighter at that.
He is an Echo Fighter of Ryu, but he is a little bit faster than Ryu. He does have the Shoryuken, and he's based off of Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Yeah, so he's a little bit faster.
Mm-hmm. The next one was very surprising, though. Incineroar.
I couldn't wait to use this.
I think that this is cool.
Great one, though,
I think
right?
It's great. I can't wait to use this character.
I mean, he's a championship lion.
Well, yeah, he's a fire wrestling Pokemon.
Yeah, if he doesn't have like an elbow drop from the top rope sort of move,
cross chop.
Yeah, like
it's a cross chop.
Yeah, it's a cross chop.
Okay, all right. I can see that. I can see that.
He can't throw you off the ropes too.
Yeah,
that's so good.
One of his moves makes you run the ropes. And you bounce back at him, and he can do a move on you.
Oh, that's fantastic.
If you hit it early, you do like a back body drop on him. If you go too late, you hit yourself, I think you fail. The move fails. And if you hit it right on time, you do a lariat.
Nice. There's a bunch of other of the moves from the game that made in there too. Like he has revenge, so if you like time it just right, you'll turn someone's attack back on themselves.
Yeah, parry.
And of course his ultimate smash is the malicious moonsault.
Yeah. In addition, when he does a big move, he will pose for the audience.
He taunts automatically.
That's awesome!
And you have to cancel out of it as one of his mechanics, otherwise you're leaving yourself open to get hit.
I love it.
We'll just do the third character that got released now, too. At the very end of the conference, it was revealed that the 75th fighter is going to be the reward for pre-ordering. Mm-hmm. You get this one if you pre-order. It won't come out with launch. It'll come out a few months after. It's the Piranha Plant.
And this is actually really interesting. Like, the reveal was really clever, because at first I didn't realize it was going to actually be a character.
It looked like an assist trophy.
Yeah, I thought that's exactly what it was going to be. It was an assist trophy, and then no, it turns out it's an actual character.
Yeah.
And it looks like a really fun character.
It looks like it's going to be a great troll character, too.
Yeah. Right?
It's got a lot of range.
No, it does. It does.
I mean, which is surprising for a potted plant.
Right, exactly.
And the Waluigi fans everywhere continue to cry out in dismay.
You know?
Man, ain't nobody listening to no Waluigi fans, man.
That might be justified at this point. It seems like every character
going out
is
of their
being
way
included in here except for Waluigi.
Who's next? The Goombas?
Hey, they could be an Echo Fighter of Ice Climbers.
Yep.
Or Olimar the Pikmin.
Oh, no. Well, we didn't just hear about the new fighters. We actually heard about quite a bit more than that as well.
Yep, so a couple things about that is we got Inkling, Ridley, and Wolf coming as amiibos on December the 7th. They're taking away collectible trophies in this game, and instead you're going to get spirits, which can be used to power up your character in battle. There are other characters from around the greater Nintendo universe.
This
man, was, this a bunch was of weird universes. Because you can also like level up the spirits and like feed them to your amiibos to make them stronger, this but is then akin, lose them.
This is akin to a lot of single player modes that a lot of fighting games have, where you can begin to further customize characters and kind of go into a online fighter completely separate. So you could have a big, you know, grappler character that's been weighed down with speed. And essentially, it's a way to play a broken game without breaking a game.
Right, well, exactly. You can take a character who might have some shortcomings, pump up their shortcomings so that they don't really have them anymore, and now you've got this sweet boss
this
character
sweet,
that you're using.
This sweet, perfect character you love.
Oh, okay.
They're also going to have both local wireless and online. Matchmaking is now based on three factors. You can set your own preferred rule set, and it'll match with people who have similar rule sets. There is a global smash power, which is it's your ranking. You mm-hmm. you get an overall ranking, and you have a ranking in each fighter that you choose, and it'll try to pair you up, you know, with people relatively close to you.
Yeah, it sounds like intelligent matchmaking.
You will be penalized for self-destructing on purpose to get to basically lower down your GSP so that you get ranked with worse players.
Oh, good.
So don't do that. And the last thing is distance. So they're going to try to matchmake you with people who are closer physically to you.
Oh, so it keeps a low
latency
ping. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They also mentioned this, but they didn't talk too much about it. With a high enough global smash power, you can enter elite smash battles. And they specifically said the development team is going to be keeping an eye on those matches.
So this is basically where your meta start being developed, your high level players that are going to be playing consistently, your rankings boards and stuff like that. This would be where the pros are. So it sounds like Ultimate, which, you know, the FGC should be very happy about this. It sounds like they're going to try to balance the game itself with competitive play. And
with that
I
wonder, characters, you have to.
You have to.
I wonder if it's going to be ongoing balancing and then for how long, right? Like, you can have ongoing balancing, but usually, you know, like a game like League of Legends never stops undergoing updates or undergoing character changes. And I have to wonder, I mean, it seems like they're setting this up to be the last Smash Brothers. Like, this is it. This is the Smash Brothers, the definitive collection, if you will.
So with that, you would have to continually support it through patches and through support, which the all the moves that Nintendo has been making with this game has shown that that is what they want to do.
So how long is it officially supported then? 5 years? 10 years?
I would say as long as it remains profitable.
That's probably fair. You're listening to Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as The Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. We're currently talking about the Nintendo Direct Conference that happened Thursday morning, talking about the final reveals before Smash Ultimate drops on December 7th. And I mean, between the different modes that they announced, the different characters that they announced, they're does seem to be a lot here. And, you know, to try to set this out as the definitive edition, you know, how long before necessity states that the company, maybe not Sakurai, because I understand this is Sakurai's
his last game,
probably his last outing with the franchise, but before the company needs to revisit the franchise?
I would say it can probably go as long as the Switch stays the relevant system.
Yeah, exactly. I would agree with that.
Yeah, and I mean, based on the support, the Switch could go for quite a while, because it's never been about how graphically, you know, powerful it is. This could be a very successful system for a very long time, and we know that Nintendo is totally okay with doing that with their platforms, because they did it with the DS. I understand your trepidation in terms of talking about the support coming from Nintendo.
Right.
But
well, because they typically do not support Smash games after they come out.
That's true, but I think they don't want another situation where it's Melee again and people have to wait until the controllers go extinct them to make a new game.
I think what's interesting about the Melee situation is that it's lasted for so long and they didn't choose to support it. I think that if Ultimate goes for as long as Melee does and they have the support behind it, like Joe says, as long as it stays profitable, they're going to keep on chugging. away with it.
Will be if those things are true.
And to that end, they have announced DLC is happening with this one.
Of course.
There will be more fighters added as paid DLC. No more fighters. Since there's no more fighters to include from past games, they're all going to be new ones. There will also be no Echo fighters included in DLC packs. Each DLC pack will be one new fighter, one new stage, and one new music track for $5.99.
Now, I think that that's cool because that actually drives that $5.99 price tag right there.
Yep.
I mean, if it was just a fighter, I would say maybe $3 is a little bit more cost effective. But
a fighter, a stage, and a music track.
Yeah, the fact that they get a stage along with it is, I think that that's pretty critical.
They'll also have what would be the equivalent of your season pass of these, $24.99 for all five of them. However, they won't allow you to purchase that until they reveal what's going to be in all five of them.
Oh, so okay.
Wonderful. That's really
very
interesting.
Very transparent.
Yeah. They also came out and said that DLC has not yet begun, development hasn't begun yet on the DLC.
Now, I think with this said, though, that they would be able to do something like this, and through, you know, being able to host games on a cloud server somewhere in the future, yeah, they could support this game forever. Smash could become like the MOBA of, you know, fighters. It's already 70 characters. There's no reason to think that Smash couldn't get up to 110, 120.
Over time. But there's actually a feature that I wanted to talk about really quick here. The voice chat feature, which actually I think is a really unique addition for Nintendo to include for a game as competitive as Smash and for as how many young kids play both on Nintendo consoles and play Smash.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of swear words.
Yeah, I think that this is a bold addition.
It is, but that's why they're doing it through the Switch Online app, not directly through the game itself. By putting on the app, you can kind of separate the voice chat feature away.
Well, listen, we're going to leave the discussion right there. We want to hear from you. Did you watch the Nintendo Direct Conference? What did you think of the latest character announcements for Smash? Connect with us on social media. That's CheckPT Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint Daily, the latest game from Toby Fox is out. It's called Deltarune Chapter 1. Turns out it's a prequel to Undertale. Plus, what new game releases are you looking forward to the most and the least in 2019? Those discussions are ahead today here on Checkpoint Daily. But ahead next, we'll check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
Riot has announced the location of the next three League of Legends World Championships. We'll tell you about it.
Gaming news is next here on Checkpoint XP.
This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Welcome to Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Make sure you're following us on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Throughout the week, you can also tune in for Checkpoint shows on our Twitch channel. When you do, you can subscribe to our channel using your Amazon Prime membership at no additional charge. When you subscribe to Checkpoint on Twitch, you get extra benefits. It's free when you use your Amazon Prime membership. Just go to twitch.tv/CheckpointXP and join us during the week for more insight on esports and to be a part of the show. Still ahead today on Checkpoint Daily, we got to talk about Deltarune because Joe is really, really excited.
Can we do it now?
Plus, no, just one more segment. Plus, we got to take a look ahead to the games coming out in 2019 to say what we're looking forward to the most and the least. Those discussions are ahead this hour here on Checkpoint. But first, let's check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Joe Sloan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointRadio.com.
Riot Games has announced the locations for the next three World Championships for League of Legends. 2019 will see the event return to Europe for the first time in 4 years, while 2020 will have it return to China. And yes, North America fans, don't worry. We get to host the finals again in 2021.
That's such a long time.
I know.
Wasn't
already
in China before it was
It was in China last year.
Yes. It was,
what?
Yeah.
Come on, Riot. Yeah. Just
throw us a bone, Riot.
Right?
But here's the thing. Order. Here's the thing. You've got to understand that China, I think, outspends us on esports.
I refuse to
related
understand.
Spending by like
maybe it's also because
five times
we're
or something.
Also trash at League of Legends.
I mean that might have something to do with it. Yeah,
and I think the problem is North America's already got to host it like three times.
Oh,
so they're trying to spread it around.
Got
yeah,
it. That makes sense.
You may recall Virtuix trying to get people to adopt their omnidirectional treadmill technology for VR at home in the years past. Not very successfully, if you'll recall. Now they're partnering with Funovation to bring the concept to VR spaces in arcades and arenas as they move towards an esports VR concept.
All right, omnidirectional treadmill sounds like the worst idea I've ever heard. That sounds dangerous.
I mean, it is a physical way to move yourself in a digital space,
with
right? Like with your legs, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the fundamental problem surrounding VR is that right now it's not terribly physical, right? Your physical movement is dictated with a joystick, and it feels much more like a game than it does necessarily like a virtual environment. And I think an omnidirectional treadmill does help in that regard. The problem is that the cost of this technology is still so exorbitant. I don't understand how they think they can create an esports environment where someone can become so skilled at their game, right? Like, it's
esports are based around the ability to sit around and play and discover if you like it or if you're good at
it. Exactly, right? And there's also this other esports element where you're like, you're watching something that you own at home, and you're watching someone play it at a level you know you can't play at. If you can't even own it at home, then you're watching something that's almost completely foreign to you. You have no idea and no context for the type of skill that's involved in that. If there is any at all, I don't know.
Fair point. We have good news for those of you looking forward to the next entry in the Just Cause franchise. Just Cause 4 has officially gone gold and is on track to release for PC, PS4, and Xbox on December the 4th.
Can I admit something kind of bad here?
Uh-oh.
What's that?
I didn't even realize it was out yet.
Well, it's not out yet. It's coming out December the 4th. It's gone gold. Its final build is done.
Oh, that kind of gone gold.
Yeah, not golden sales. They wish.
The way that you phrased it was very confusing to a layman.
My apologies. No, the final build is ready to go. It is going to print, and it will be out December the 4th.
Okay.
Can I now admit something kind of embarrassing?
What's that?
I've never played a Just Cause game.
Really?
Are they any good?
Oh, yeah, they really are.
I haven't either, Joe.
Play at least... Two.
I would say three. Three is a little bit buggy and frustrating.
Okay.
No. Two has, I think, the most streamlined, pure.
No, two's good.
Like Just Cause experience that you can get.
But
I saw four. PS3
and 360,
it's also
on PC as well.
I saw this at E3. It actually looks stupid fun.
Really? Yeah. Okay, I'm into it. EA is devoting a massive amount of developer power to its new Project Atlas concept. The idea will involve bringing all of their major franchises under the same game engine and applying machine learning and AI to the development of said game worlds. They're striving to develop a world that changes permanently from one day to the next based on the actions of other players, AI, and real-world events, and they're devoting over 1,000 developers to the concept.
So, The Oasis?
That sounds like Ready Player One.
That's what
that sounds like to me.
I mean, it sounds cool and I want to be excited, but EA.
But the name in front of it makes it hard. But it's EA.
Yeah, you got a point there.
I'm into it as a concept, but I really wish it was someone else working on it. Like, I don't
anyone.
Know, anyone.
Anyone.
Really, anyone.
I mean, if Blizzard did this with their properties, that would be cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Microsoft streaming platform Mixer announced a number of new viewer actions and streamer tools and a massive update they are calling Season 2. Viewers will be able to use a function called Skills, which would trigger GIFs or in-chat fireworks, which would pay the streamer. Sparks patronage allows users to trigger Skills with their Sparks, and Embers can be purchased through the service. Skills and Sparks are available now, and Embers will be released in 2019.
Yeah, so basically, like, this is, you know, Mixer's answer to Bits.
Bits, effectively, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but here's the thing, though. Is there anyone watching Mixer?
Actually, there is.
It's not us,
but there's quite a few people.
I don't know about that. I don't know. I don't know how many of those are bots. I mean,
well, we don't know that for Twitch either. How many of those are Wikipedia articles for Twitch?
Fair point.
Back in February, a British website called Trusted Reviews posted leaks from a corporate document about Red Dead Redemption 2.
Stop. It's called Trusted Reviews.
Yeah.
Some
of the information has been confirmed since its release. Some pertaining to multiplayer has not. The website has recently removed the article from their site and issued an apology to Take-Two and pledged to donate $1.3 million to charities of Take-Two's choice. A Rockstar spokesperson has confirmed this was a result of litigation.
Well,
ouch.
All right. Don't do that.
The altruism kind of goes out the door, right? Like, we're going to give it to charities of Take-Two's choice. Yeah, that's because the court mandated you do it.
Right. I like it from Take-Two's perspective where they're like, no, give it to charity. We already made $725 million on our game.
Doesn't this potentially set a weird sort of precedent, though? Because leaks are normal. Like, those things get published by websites all the time.
Yeah, here's the thing. But not off of... It come off of some, like, random source. Like, right? Uh-huh. An anonymous source. You can't say that it was off a corporate document. If a company sends you a corporate document, you're not allowed to leak what's on that document and then say an anonymous source said this. No, they know you have the document.
That's less of a leak and more of a breaking of an NDA.
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
Basically.
That's all for the Checkpoint Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointradio.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. We're looking forward to Overwatch World Cup at BlizzCon this weekend, but we've also gotten some new information about how Contenders League is going to work next year. Robbie, take it away.
Oh, yeah. So, personally, I think that these changes are going to help the Contenders League be maybe a little bit more watchable, but the community's not really into this. Yeah, they're first of all, they're going down from...
What do you mean that the community's not really into it?
Well, because it seems to favor some of the bigger teams, like the Academy teams, yeah. You know, that actually have, like, funding going into them and stuff like that.
Okay.
They're cutting the seasons down. Instead of having three each year, they're going to have just two. And they're also cutting down the teams, what is it, from 12 to 8, Norris?
Yeah,
is that
12
right?
to 8.
12 to 8.
Yeah.
Now, there's all, those two seasons are also going to be longer
they
than
are,
they
yes,
used to be.
Yes, yes. Yep. So, I mean, right away, if you're talking about cutting teams down, Blizzard's not going to get rid of their content or their
academy
their
teams.
Academy teams. Mm-hmm. No way.
Now, to be fair, North America isn't being reduced
that
from 12
is true.
To 8.
No,
instead, we're being broken up into 6v6
West
versus
mm-hmm.
East. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. One of the other things that they mentioned too is that they're changing the way that prize money is being distributed. The goal here is to help reward the top teams more reliably, but they haven't really said anything about, like, any details about how they're going to be doing
that. And this
that.
Is also one of the big reasons why some of those smaller teams are really upset about mm-hmm. this, because, you know, you do want it to be, you know, based on performance, but at the same time, you know, if you have a Fusion Academy or what is it, whatever it's called, Fusion University, I don't know what it is, but if you have a team like that that has the backing, as you said, of a massive corporation, they're going to be able to bring in, you know, better players. So it's going to be more likely for them to win the big matches. So a lot of small teams are upset about that.
I think the big thing for me about this is the soft region lock that's being implemented.
Yes.
From now on, you're only going to be allowed to have a maximum three players.
Three non-resident players, yes. Because
right.
they wanted to help to promote, like, local and regional growth.
And they don't want every team to be made of all Koreans.
But, I mean, like, doesn't that make sense? Though, if the OWL is trying to encourage the regionalism through the different teams and tying teams to different cities, don't you want your contenders teams to then reflect some of that local pride?
And here's the thing. Other sports have done it. I believe the Spanish League, you have to have, you know, X amount of Spanish players
on that team for
you to be eligible for the top flight.
So you guys are heading out to BlizzCon this weekend. Mm-hmm. You guys are going to get to see the World Cup in action. I mean, we got to get some predictions. What do you guys
Korea.
Think is going to happen? Okay.
I'm going to have to go with the USA.
Well, that's boring.
I'm going to have to go with the USA. If any team's going to take it, other than South Korea, it would be Team USA, and they look real strong. They look real aggressive this year,
too. They do look aggressive.
I think I heard that, was it Denmark was saying they had a good chance of winning this year?
It's someone from Australia.
Australia.
From their team, yeah. They go up against South Korea in the first round.
And what? You don't think that the Australians can pull it out? You don't think they can win?
Custa can't carry that hard.
No.
Maybe he can.
No.
What if I pick South Korea to win?
Then you'd probably be right.
Oh. I mean, I'm never right, though.
It's South Korea.
Yeah, but he's got the kiss of death.
What he's saying is he's trying to curse them.
Yeah.
I just think South Korea is a great team. I don't see how anyone could possibly stop them.
Okay.
What's the point of even watching?
Right, listen, we got to leave the discussion right there. We want to hear from you. What are you expecting out of BlizzCon? Connect with us on social media. That's CheckPT Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint, we've got to take a look at the new games coming out in 2019 and see what we're looking forward to the most and the least coming up in about 20 minutes here on Checkpoint. But ahead next, Toby Fox, the enigmatic creator of Undertale, just released a prequel to Undertale called Deltarune. We'll tell you all about it ahead next on Checkpoint Daily.
This is Checkpoint Radio. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com. This is Checkpoint.
Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening out in Colorado on ESPN Denver 1600 104.3 The Fan, as well as Extra Sports 1300 in Colorado Springs. Make sure you visit our website over at checkpointradio.com for full episodes on demand, both of our weekly national show and the brand new Checkpoint Daily. Podcasts like the Checkpoint Podcast, as well as our Overwatch podcast, Low Team Damage, and an archive of our interviews like David Hayter, voice actor for Snake from the Metal Gear franchise, Jonas Jerebko, NBA player and owner of the Detroit Renegades, and Xavier Woods, WWE superstar and host of Up, Up, Down, Down. Find those all over at our website, CheckpointRadio.com. When Toby Fox released Undertale in 2015, not even he could have predicted the heights the game would reach. It was one of the most talked about games of that year. So when the Undertale Twitter sprung to life and broke its normal pattern of promoting further versions of Undertale, fans took notice.
Yeah, took notice is one way of putting it. The internet caught on fire would be another one. So, as you put out, the Undertale Twitter and Toby Fox's Twitter especially are very... they're not particularly active Twitters.
No, they're pretty low-key most of the time.
So when I see that I have a notification that Toby Fox tweeted out, I'm like, whoa, okay, I got to check out what that is. And we had a long series of weird tweets coming from the Undertale Twitter, which I'm going to read here.
Does he still have the box head avatar on Twitter? Because that was one of my favorite things of his.
Yes, he does.
Yeah,
last
he does.
I checked.
Okay, cool. That's cool.
The tweet said, "Welcome. Have you been looking for me? How wonderful. I have been looking for you as well. I have something I want to show you, something I think you will find very, very interesting. But it is not complete yet. No, it is far from complete. Thus, I have a small favor to ask you. Return here in 24 hours. At that time, I will ask you a few questions. Then, using your responses, we will approach its realization. Thank you very much for your time. I will be in contact again soon." And then
that
it went quiet again.
Weird.
So... ensue 24 hours of speculation on what the heck that means. 24 hours later, sure enough, that tweet, the Twitter goes active again, and it's posting a link to a website called Deltarune.com. Everyone figures out very quickly Deltarune is an anagram of Undertale.
Right.
You download the program, everyone thinking, okay, we're going to ask some questions that's going to help him work on a new project. You get a program called Survey Program, and when you try to boot it up, you have to, first of all, give Windows Defender permissions for it to even go online.
Ooh.
And then you have to give it admin privileges.
Oh, that's scary.
It was a little terrifying.
Like, what am I... Toby Fox steals everybody's identity.
Yeah, like, what am I doing to my computer?
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's enough of a troll that I would believe he would screw up my computer. So, but... and this is where we have to basically put up the spoiler warning for anyone who doesn't want to know. You've been warned. And then you get to play the new game.
So what is the new game? Now, first of all, Toby Fox requested 24 hours worth of kind of like radio silence.
Basically, don't talk about it for 24 hours.
Yeah, just don't talk about the game. We have honored that 24 hours worth of radio silence. And let's actually talk about what is Deltarune.
Yeah, so, I mean, at first it looks like Undertale. The graphics have gotten a little bit of an update, but overall it's definitely still the same kind of sprite work. You get to make a character. You name your character, you design it, create it, and then the game promptly throws it out, says your choices don't matter, and gives you your character with your name.
Nice.
Weirdly, though, when you save, it still uses the name you picked, not the name everyone calls you in the game.
Hmm.
That's an interesting feature that I haven't figured out yet. So you start playing, and yeah, it looks like a sequel to Undertale. It looks like it probably takes place some years after the events of the first game.
Whoa. I thought you were saying that it might be a prequel, though.
Yeah. That's the problem. It looks like a sequel to Undertale until you get to the end of it. And then when you get to the end of it, you are made painfully aware that it must be a prequel or an alternate universe telling of the story. Because at first, you look like the character from the first game, aged a few years. The name that you play as is very similar to that character. And it looks like a lot of time has passed. You're not in the underground anymore. You're above ground. So it looks like it must be the continuation of the pacifist ending. No.
Okay.
It's not. It's a prequel.
That's interesting. You're listening to Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. We're currently talking about Deltarune, which is the follow-up to Undertale that Toby Fox just recently released. And so, okay, It becomes clear that it's a prequel,
right? Or at least set before the events.
Listen, hold on. This is somebody who I will admit I have not played Undertale, but I hear all this type of stuff and all this meta craziness, and I just feel like it's like Petscop or something. Like, and it's got to be something awful and horrid behind this entire story.
Well, and that's the thing is Toby Fox is masterful at nothing else if not creating
confusion. And
subverting tropes and creating confusion and doing weird things with his games. And he continues that here. This game is very much built on the premise of spoilers so far. There's a lot of puzzles with, I assume, more content behind them that you can only get if you've either beaten the game or had it spoiled for you. And at the same time, for him to kind of release the game with a request not to spoil anything is an interesting call on his part. But the whole game is kind of playing with those themes of spoilers. And what's important to note is this is only chapter one of the game.
So does it confirm how many total chapters there are going to be?
Nope.
We just know that it continues in some fashion.
This is chapter one, and he released it for free.
And is there any timetable that he's going to put out the second one?
Nope.
Nope.
As always, he's being enigmatic about that as well. But here's the thing. We now know how long he's been working on it.
I was just about to ask you.
Yeah, so Undertale came out in 2015.
Right.
And Toby shared with us some of his early scripts for this game and some of the early art at work when he was working on it. And there's nothing really notable about it. Yeah, it's obviously scripts from the fights that we've seen so far. But what's notable is the dates on those scripts. 2012.
Whoa. Oh, wow. That was before the release of Undertale.
Yeah, he started working on this game presumably when he was still working on Undertale.
Interesting.
Wow.
I wonder when development started on Undertale.
That would be an amazing question, because he's always worked with a very small team. I mean, Undertale's team, I mean, before you get into like localization, the actual development team for Undertale was only a few people.
Yeah, exactly. I have to wonder, because I mean, Toby Fox, before he was a game programmer, he did a lot of mods with like Mother and stuff like that.
Yes, that is where you got
to
start.
I have to wonder if this has been conceptualized as a much larger project, because it sounds like if Deltarune has roots going back to 2012, that this concept has been
all the same thing.
Yeah, that this concept has been in execution for a long time.
And that is incredible, because he has literally, when he stopped developing for Undertale, it was like a rock going off a cliff. Like, he was working on the hard mode version of the game that we assumed would continue the storyline.
Right.
And then he just said, you know what, never mind, I'm not working on it anymore, I'm done. And then went on radio silence for 3 years.
You know what, we talk about all tours. And if Kojima's the last one, Toby Fox keeps going, he may take up that mantle.
I was going to bring that up, because like, he is doing the kinds of things that an auteur does. He's playing by his rules.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually a really great point. But listen, we want to hear from you. Did you check out Deltarune? How excited are you that Toby Fox is returning to the Undertale universe? Connect with us on social media. That's Check PT Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And make sure you follow us on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Coming up next on Checkpoint, there are some huge games that are slated for 2019. So we want to know what you're most excited about and which new releases you're dreading.
Because, you know, there's a few of them.
Yeah, there's more than a few of them.
When we went on and looked up the list of 2019, it was like, oh no.
Yeah, there's a couple in there where I'm like,
couple stinkers.
I don't know. Anyway, stick around. That discussion is ahead next on Checkpoint Daily from Beasley Esports XP.
Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint Daily, Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Make sure you're following us on our freshly partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got tons of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one, but two cat emotes. Both Tali and Fritz are actual cats, are Twitch emotes, and there's only one place to get it. That's twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. So there's a lot of heavy-hitting releases slated for 2019, a lot of stuff that people are hyped for. Devil May Cry.
Yep.
Death Stranding?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Hopefully.
That's optimistic.
But there's also releases in there that I'm sure people are dreading as well.
Yeah, like me. Anthem.
You ain't alone in that boat.
No, when that game comes out, I am prepared for it to be the worst thing ever printed upon a disc.
Now, here's the question, Nora. So you just going to like sort of watch the media and see what it's about? Or are you actually going to try and dip your toes into that cesspool?
And buy it? No.
What happens if it's good?
Well, then you buy it.
Then I buy it.
All right. Yeah.
But from what I saw, it ain't looking good.
They have not earned his day one purchase, is what you're trying to say.
Definitely not.
And I mean, I don't blame you. I've got another one on here that I'm really dreading, but I definitely get you with Anthem. And I only hate it more having now finished Mass Effect and finally gotten on board with that.
See?
I only hate it more.
See?
So if I had to pick one off here that I'm really not looking forward to, it's Days Gone.
Okay.
Oh, we were so hyped about that.
I know. And that's kind of why I'm really like just dreading it at this point. Because at one point I was so excited for it. The fact that it really doesn't look any different now than it did when I first started seeing stuff of it. Like there was a lot of things in the early bit of it. I'm like, well, this is kind of cool. It's an interesting idea to develop on. And there's delays going on and I haven't seen a whole lot more out of it. I'm not excited for Days Gone, dude.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm going to have to go with Kingdom Hearts, guys. I don't think I'm alone in that.
I almost said Kingdom Hearts, but here's the thing. It's not that I'm dreading Kingdom Hearts 3. I'm sure it'll be a fine game. I'm dreading what will come
with the release of Kingdom Hearts 3.
It's the fandom.
The fandom is the worst.
My Twitter and my Facebook are going to be nothing but Kingdom Hearts for like 2 months.
Yeah.
One month before and one month after.
Not looking forward to that. I mean, because, yeah, you do get inundated with Kingdom Hearts BS. A lot on social media.
Guys, I still do now.
Yeah, I know.
Guys, I'm strong in the LGBT and the Steven Universe Twitter in those areas. And when you're strong in those areas,
you're going to just get inundated with it.
Oh, my God.
It's
going to
be nothing but NSFW pictures of things that I don't want to see.
That's true. I think for me, I've got to say, and this is really weird for me because I love From Software games, but Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. Is just not a game.
Samurai Souls?
Yeah, Samurai Souls. I'm just not into it at all.
You just hate samurai stuff.
Right, that's the thing. It's literally the game he wants in the setting he doesn't want it in.
Pretty much.
That is exactly what it is.
They just said a Souls game on the east side of Detroit.
And you know what? The thing is that I had the same problem with FF14's latest expansion, Stormblood.
Yeah.
As I was like, oh, it's just more of the same stuff that they've been shoveling down our throats for the last 3 years.
Well, that's the thing.
In a setting that you hate, a setting that is
objectively the worst thing ever.
Right, that's the problem. That was the game you didn't want in the setting you didn't want.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. So, you're listening to Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. Want to thank everyone listening on affiliate station Fox Sports 1350 AM in Riverside, San Bernardino, as well as the mighty 1090 in San Diego. We're currently talking about what games we're looking forward to the least, but I want to flip that around and ask, what games are you looking forward to the most coming out in 2019?
All right, man, I got sort of a hydra going on here, a triumvirate of great games, and that's
you have to say one.
One, no,
because we all have to get one here. You have to say
one.
No.
Only get one. You have to choose.
I can't pick one.
You have to choose one.
I can't pick
because
one.
You're going to pick the three that I
you
want.
You choose one or you choose none.
Devil May Cry.
Okay.
All right.
See, Devil May Cry 5 is a very legit one, and I thank you for taking that, not the one that I was going to take.
Because I knew what you were going
to
say.
See, and you're going to get your triumvirate anyway. You just need to let us fill out that triumvirate
for you. No, one of them's not. You're not going to guess it.
I might.
Go ahead.
Well, all right, Joe. Well, what is it?
Well, I was going to say Resident Evil 2 Remake.
Which is going to be my number two.
That is definitely a game that I am looking forward to. And unlike Days Gone, a game where every time I see more of it, I'm more excited
for
it.
You want to play it more, yes.
By the way, I just got to see what was the Resident Evil Survivor or whatever it was? The last game made for the PlayStation 1. The first person perspective Resident Evil game that was made with the light gun.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot that existed.
Sure
oh, my
did.
God. It's awful.
Because it's bad.
Now, before I give you mine, guys, my answer. answer. Know that I hate myself more than you guys are going to hate me, but it was No, it was the first game I ever bought with my own money, and I realized it's going to make me seem like a hypocrite.
No.
But Kingdom Hearts 3.
We're the worst. It's the game you're looking forward to and dreading.
Yes, we've established that it's the fandom that makes that game so bad, but like the 1 and 2 itself, I did really enjoy playing though.
Right. I get what you're getting at. If you could play that game in a vacuum, right?
Yes.
If you could go into a soundproof room and just play Kingdom Hearts and then stay there for 6 months and emerge once the hype has died off, it would be a legitimately great game. And I actually completely agree with that. I felt that way about Kingdom Hearts 1. Mm-hmm. I genuinely enjoyed playing it until I tried to talk to literally anyone else about it.
Yep.
That's stupid, Robbie.
I'm aware. Yeah. I'm 100%
aware. That's intensely stupid.
I'm aware.
So, Nate, we're gonna get to you in a sec, but I also want to ask the chat what the game they're most looking forward to and most dreading is. So, chat, go ahead and shout out yours. But, Nate, what game are you most looking forward to in 2019 right now?
Ghosts of Tsushima.
Wait. No. You're not allowed to say Shadows and Ghost of Tsushima, you monster.
How is that any dumber than what I just said?
I'm so lying. Lying through my teeth right now. No, I'd actually say the one that I'm looking forward to the most right now is actually Metro Exodus.
I almost said that.
I have become a big fan of the Metro games ever since getting to get my hands on Metro Exodus out at E3. And I'm quite looking forward to continuing on in the adventures of Artyom in Metro Exodus.
Guys, didn't get the last one for me. You guys didn't get it.
What was it?
I don't care.
Well, Nate's going to hate it. It's the Onimusha re-release.
Boo.
For the Switch.
Yeah, you're right. No, that's why no one got it.
Death Stranding isn't on any of our lists.
It's not coming out.
We don't know when it's coming out. 2019.
Okay, that's probably fair.
We'll get a playable demo in 2019.
Right, exactly.
I will say I do feel a little bit better because at least four people in the chat said that they agree with me on both points, so I'm not alone.
That's fair.
That's because our chat is objectively weeaboo trash as well.
Like the rest of us.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know.
Like, I was surprised no one said, like, Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes.
You know what? It would be up there. I do want to play it. I can't put it in the top one or three.
How about Crackdown 3?
No, no, thank you.
Really?
No.
Really cool, I thought.
No.
You know, Psychonauts 2 is slated for 2019?
Wait.
I didn't even know there was a Psychonauts 2.
Well, there's been a Psychonauts 2 since the day Psychonauts 1 dropped.
One ended, right.
Yeah.
That's one where I seriously question. Also, by the way, I saw someone had listed that Elder Scrolls
6. Yeah,
Elder Scrolls 6.
No.
Will be dropping in 2019?
Robbie, I'm surprised you didn't say Gears 5.
What made the other or at least 1 through 3 good for me was playing them with my roommate. The games themselves are just bro trash.
All right, well, we're gonna have to leave the discussion right there. Thanks so much for joining us for Checkpoint Daily, the first internationally syndicated show for esports and gaming for the radio. Visit our website over at checkpointradio.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of episodes, podcasts, and interviews. Checkpoint Daily will be back tomorrow, and we'll be checking in with Robbie and Norris, who will be on the floor out at BlizzCon. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern here at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking out from Christine Corpus, and of course my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and over at the Checkpoint News Desk, Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Radio, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.